Thank you to Pete and the band for leading us this morning, but I have to say, I'm not happy. In fact, I would go as far as to say I am pretty annoyed. I want to try and ignore it and move on, but I can't, so I think I need to express how I'm feeling before we go any further in this service, because it's perhaps the worst thing that I've come across in the last 10 years. Now, I'm not talking about the worship this morning. Pete, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. Nor am I talking about any particular behavior of anyone within the life of the church. What I'm thinking about that makes me annoyed is something I came across 10 years ago and still comes to mind as I was preparing this week. When I was working for a Christian missionary organization, a community project based in Chester that was called Vintage Blaken, and their focus was on helping to create a mission-shaped church for older people, where not only the needs of senior members of the community were being met, but also older members of the church were contributing and valued and could see that they are still part very much of God's mission in community and in the world. And one of the things we needed to consider was, at what point are you considered to be old? So it has been said that you know you're getting old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. It has been said that you know you're getting old when you get out of breath playing cards. You know you're getting old when you keep repeating yourself. You know you're getting old when your house is too big and your medicine chest isn't big enough. You know you're getting old when you stick your teeth into a steak and they stay there. You know you're getting old when you keep repeating yourself. You know you're getting old when you sit in a rocking chair and you can't make it go. You know you're getting old when your back goes out more than you do. You know you're getting old when you keep repeating yourself. At what point would you consider someone is old? And that was the issue that I wasn't happy about 10 years ago, because at the time, an organization called Age Concern England was dividing older people into three groups. They referred to one group, age 65 to 80, as senior. Around the third age, they were seen as retired independents. So we have the University of the Third Age, U3A. And actually, I didn't mind that group, because I kind of thought, well, when people reach around about sort of 65, you tend to be called a senior citizen. That tends to be a phrase. And that word senior is quite nice. It's kind of endearing. It's a sign of maturity and all that kind of thing. And generally speaking, a lot of people have retired because they've reached pensionable age that was 65 at that time, and they were still quite independent. So whilst I don't like people being pigeonholed and put into groups and blanket statement for all, generally speaking, I wasn't too opposed to that particular group, but it was the other two that they came up with. For example, age 55 to 64, which they referred as working people who are independent, they referred to as pre-senior. Now, that caused a lot of problem with people who I was working with who were in their late 50s. They didn't consider themselves as being old at all, and they didn't want to be tagged with any kind of label that would be remotely connected. That wasn't because they were saying that older people are bad or it's bad to even be old. It's just they didn't feel that in the 10 years before technically retirement age that they were being groomed to have to consider themselves as being old by carrying this label pre-senior, well before their time. Now, at the time, I wasn't in that age bracket, but I was very sympathetic for those who felt that that wasn't right. Now I am in that age bracket. I empathize with that in a much more personal way. So two groups, one that's kind of okay, the other one that I wasn't sure at all was right. But they also had another group, and this was for the ones who were over 80. And this is how they referred to them, older, frail, the fourth age, dependent on others. Now, of course, it is true that many people later in life do become frail, and they do need the help of others. And of course, there are many who are younger than 80 who end up becoming frail and dependent on others. And of course, elderly people do become very isolated and lonely. And you may be aware of the campaign that I think Sage UK and Cadbury's are doing at the moment, where they encourage you to donate your words to try and help to break this idea that for many elderly people, they might not hear anybody's voice at all, talking to them through a whole week or maybe longer, and television is their only friend. It's a really good and commendable campaign which they're involved in to help folks to talk with those who may be living on their own and are isolated. But it's also too important, I think, to remember that there are many over 80-year-olds, and I know many, and you probably know many, and you may be one, who is incredibly sprightly and furiously independent and extremely socially engaged with others. And therefore, to group all over 80-year-olds as being frail and dependent, that used to get me angry. That still makes me angry. And I love it when I see any stories on the news where you've got people who are over 80 jumping out of airplanes or running races, or Britain's Got Talent a couple of weeks ago, you had an 85-year-old doing the salsa, being swung all around. Wonderful to show that perhaps being grouped into groups like this maybe isn't too good. And the Bible doesn't do this either. So let me introduce you to two older people in the Bible. Barzillai is referred to in 2 Samuel 19. Now, he was somebody who had helped King David when he was on the run from Absalom, and as David was coming back to take up his throne, Barzillai was being invited to come back to Jerusalem with him. This is what happens. This is what he said to King David. "How many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I'm now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is enjoyable and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of male and female singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king?" He was in a pretty bad way physically. He'd lost his hearing, he'd lost his taste buds. Probably he had generally lost his zeal for living much longer. He actually says to David, "Let me go home and then I can die." And perhaps he would have considered himself as being frail and dependent on others to help him. Now compare him with Caleb. Now Caleb was one of the 10 spies that had originally gone into the promised land to spy it out, and he brought back a positive report with Joshua to say, "Yes, there's giants in the land, but hey, we can take this because God says this is the land to take." And people rejected his report. And it led to 40 years him walking around the wilderness with Joshua until all that generation died out except for him and Joshua. And then when they went into the promised land, it was time to give out the land. This is what Caleb said. This is in Joshua 14. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. Here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." So here we have Caleb, 85 years old, still feeling as young and strong as he was when he was 40, and was still quite keen to fight the giants at 85, which he did go on to do successfully. Two different men, both in their 80s, both experiencing life in very different ways. Some people age well and stay very fit. Some don't. But either way, I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God looks at the age of a person and says, "You're in the lower age group, and therefore you're of interest to me. You're of an upper age group, you were of interest to me, but not so much now." I don't see God saying, "If you're under 65, then you can serve me, but if you're over 65, thank you so much for all that you've done. Sit down now, have a rest. I won't be needing you anymore." So part of this series, Every Sparrow Counts, where we're looking at people groups that sometimes are overlooked or undervalued, I want us to look at some scriptures that highlight God's heart for the elderly and some of the concerns that maybe the elderly may have. See, when we've looked at children and youth, we can say, "Well, yeah, I used to be like that. It might have been a little while ago. Can't necessarily fully remember what it was like to be a child or a young person, but I know I was at some point." But when we come to deal with elderly, some of us are already there, perhaps, and some are moving steadily towards that particular experience. So it's a relevant thing for us to consider if we're already there, but also maybe in our preparation for that, or in how we all collectively, regardless of our age, might be able to be involved in ministry and caring for those who are more senior in our church and community. In our reading earlier in Psalm 71, it may have been the words of an old man. And I say may because it does depend which translation of the Bible you read. So we read this morning from Psalm 71 and the New International Version, and verses 17 to 18 say this in the NIV. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God. Now that could be interpreted as being, I'm looking back on my youth, I'm now kind of middle-aged, and then even when I'm old and gray, which is still yet to come, don't forsake me. So it's something he's looking towards. It could be interpreted that way. The New Living Translation and other translations put it this way. Oh God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I'm old and gray, do not abandon me, oh God. So some versions say this is a real and present experience of the writer of this psalm. Some say it kind of could be implied that it's something that he's concerned about that's coming up soon in his life. And because there is this difference in the translation, I want to use the New Living Translations version that presents it more as being the words of an older man reflecting on someone who is older and the things that he may be experiencing. The first thing he does is he's acknowledging dependence. The first eight verses, he's talking about his dependence upon the Lord. I come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me and rescue me, for what you do is right. Turn your ear to listen and set me free. Be my rock of safety where I can always hide. Give the order to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. You alone are my hope. I've trusted you, O Lord, from childhood. Yes, you've been with me from birth. From my mother's womb, you've cared for me. No wonder I'm always praising you. My life is an example to many because you've been my strength and protection. That is why I cannot stop praising you. I declare your glory all day long. He sees God as his protector, as his savior, as his rescuer, as one who listens to him, one who brings freedom to him. That God is a place of safety and refuge and security for him. He wasn't so much observing his aging body with all its limitations and concluding that God didn't care about him anymore and he had no life and purpose. Instead, and as a result, made a wrong judgment of God. Instead, he looked at God and all of God's unchanging qualities and characteristics, his faithfulness, and all that God is willing to send out and ready for him to receive. And it caused him to be full of praise. And I think that's a huge challenge for all of us as we're getting older or already there. Are we praising the Lord more now than when we were younger? Or are we grumbling and moaning more about life now we're getting older? This old man says, I can never stop praising you. Is that our experience? If not, what can we do to become more of a praising person as we get older? He's also confessing some doubt. He may have this idea of God being the provider and the rest of it, but that doesn't mean, as with all of us, there aren't times when you might have doubts because of fear. And he says this, and now in my old age, don't set me aside. Don't abandon me when my strength is failing. For my enemies are whispering against me. They're plotting together to kill me. They say, God has abandoned him. Let go and get him, for no one will help him now. Oh God, don't stay away. My God, please hurry to help me. We don't know the actual circumstance of the psalmist. We don't know if this is a psalm of David. It's not attributed to him, but it could be. We don't know exactly what's going through his mind at that moment, other than there are voices that are tormenting him. They're saying, not saying God might abandon you in your old age. They're saying God has abandoned you in your old age. And that's a conflict message to what he's trying to put forward, that God is always faithful and he's going to provide. And so he becomes vulnerable and filled with doubt and fear. And I guess as we get older, we're surrounded by many voices that can trouble us. It could be the voice of the doctor giving us bad news about our health. It could be the voice of our families who are encountering difficulties that we are not able to fix. It could be the voice of the news on the television with so many negative reports. Could be the voice of the bank who send us a statement to say you haven't got enough income this year for you to be able to afford heating and lighting and food, and so therefore you may make the decision to choose to sit in a cold room because you haven't got enough money to heat and eat. Or maybe you can't afford the TV license that you might now have to pay for because it's no longer going to be free. Could be the voice of silence that we listen to because no one's talking to us and we feel alone. Or it could be our own inner voice telling us that if God really loved me, then my life would be better than this. And perhaps it'll be a good thing for us to just think about this week as we take this as our theme and we think about it in our midweek life groups. What things might today's older generation be afraid about getting older? And is there anything that we can do to help to relieve the anxiety and the worry and the sense of loneliness that is being experienced by our aging population? And it's perhaps worth mentioning that in the Age UK's Later Life in the UK report, they say that by 2030, one in five people in the UK will be aged 65. That's only 11 years away. And a little bit more closer to home, in the 2011 census for Frimley, it said of the 6,178 residents, 1,417 of those were aged 60 or over. So that's nearer one in four in Frimley, according to the census. Now, we have a midweek fellowship, and we have a pop-in, and every year we have holiday at home. But I wonder if there's anything else that we can do as a church to show God's loving heart towards the more senior members of our community. And the third thing which this psalmist talks about, expressing desire. He says, "O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I'm old and gray, do not abandon me. O God, let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me." What a great mission statement for an older person. To desire to tell the next generation about the power and majesty of the Lord. Have an acknowledged dependency upon God and then honestly confess some of his doubts and fears. In the end, he wants to declare the Lord in his own old age towards others. To take the experiences that he has had and what he has learnt and what he's built his life on. To take his personal story about how God is working in his life and to make it known to the next generation. He didn't want to keep it to himself. He wanted to share it with others. I think it's interesting that when Jesus was born and the first people who came to see him were the shepherds, but then within about 8 days or so, he was taken to the temple to be circumcised as a Jewish child. And the two people who announce Jesus and declare him are Anna and Simeon, both who we understand are very old people. But they declare the arrival of Jesus, announcing to that generation that Jesus is here. And that's a lovely kind of image there. The older generation, letting the next generation know and making Jesus known to them. And interesting, if you go back to Barzillai, interesting, it says here, after he'd said to David, King David, "I would only be a burden to my lord the king," he says this, "But here is your servant, my son Kimham. Let him go with my lord the king and receive whatever you want to give him." "Good," the king agreed. "Kimham will go with me and I will help him in any way you would like, and I'll do for you anything you would want." So Barzillai was saying, "Let me pass the blessing that I've just received from King David, which is to come and join him. Let me pass this on to the next generation. Let my servant, my son, go in my place." And as a result, he blessed his son, but also David continued to bless him for this generous offer. I think it's a lovely image of an older person blessing the next generation and the next generation blessing an older person. The scriptures show that God has a high opinion of people in their latter years. And as a result, he instructs his followers to have the same attitude. So we find in the law, we find in the Psalms, and we find in the prophets, little mentions every now and again about God's heart for the elderly. So in the law, it says in Leviticus 19:32, "Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord." Let me read that again for you. Leviticus 19:32. "Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God, I am the Lord. He put that in the law so that people would obey it. Always respect the elderly. In the Psalms, in Psalm 92, it says this, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Fat and flourishing trees. That's what I think it says, fat and flourishing in the King James Version of Psalm 92. That's good. We can be fat and flourishing in our old age. That's good. I like that. Check it out. Psalm 92, King James Version. It's very good. And also it says in Isaiah 46, verse 3, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I made you and I will carry you. God does not forget us when we get old. On the contrary, he promises to sustain and carry us. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church, in the New Testament church that Timothy was looking after, he said, make sure that you have respect towards the older members of your congregation. He says this in 1 Timothy 5, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Make sure you get it right in your regard to the older folks. And don't forget, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up in front of this large crowd that had come to faith, and he wanted everyone to be filled with God, with the Spirit of God, he quoted from Joel 2, which says this, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit in these days. They will prophesy. So in other words, God says, look, when it comes to the Spirit of God falling upon my people, it's upon all. He's coming upon all people, regardless of gender or age. God's Spirit is for all believers, male, female, young, and old. And if you read the Old Testament stories, you will read quite often, come across people who were old when God called them. So, for example, Abraham, when we are first introduced to Abraham, it says he's going to be the founder of the Jewish faith. He's going to be, in a sense, he's part of our faith. He's right there at the very beginning, the father of faith, if you like. And it says in Genesis 12:4, Abraham left, and this was to go to the land that God would show him. Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was, how old was he? 75 years old when he set out from Haran. 75, that's surely an age when you settle down and you put your feet up. I'm retired, it's the next generation's job, but actually when we're first introduced to this man, his story starts at 75. And little did he know that in 25 years' time, he'll become a dad for the first time with his wife. Wow, what an adventure, what a journey. Not saying that's a calling for all of us, of course, but I'm just making the point that his story starts at 75, doesn't end there. And what about Moses and Aaron? They were called for about 400 years later, once the children of Israel had gone in and then gone into Egypt under Jacob's lead, gone back to Egypt, and they'd grown in numbers, and then they ended up being under oppression under the Egyptians, and then God called Moses and Aaron to lead them out back into the promised land that had been set for Abraham. How old were they when they were called? Well, it says in Exodus 7, Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now, according to those definitions earlier on, when you're 80, you are older, frail, and dependent. Moses was dependent upon Aaron to help him speak. Aaron was 3 years older than him. How does that work according to the modern idea of how people should be segregated? God could have called a fresh-faced, young Hebrew Bible college student to lead them out. But instead, he called two old blokes. I wonder what he'd want to do through us. Now, it could be argued, oh, yes, but they added up ages differently in those days. And it may be they did add up ages differently. But I think the principle of this is to say God did not always call spring chickens to be involved in mission for him. It's not just something for the young to engage in. It's for us all to serve the Lord. Sometimes he'll call us to serve in a different country. We're told in Daniel chapter 1 that when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, besieged Jerusalem, he took a number of people away into Babylon. Daniel chapter 1 says, he appointed young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. And among those were some of them from Judah. And in that list there, Daniel is one of them. So he was a young man that was taken away from the promised land into captivity in Babylon. Now, we know historically that this siege against Jerusalem was round about 598 BC. We then, if we read chapter 6 of Daniel, it says that King Darius is in charge of Babylon at that time. And historically, that's when he was thrown in the den of lions. And historically, Darius is meant to have ruled around about 538 BC. So that's around about 60 years later. So if Daniel had come into Babylon, maybe as a young man, that could be anything from 15 to the age 20, he could have been between 75 and 80 year old when he was thrown in the den of lions. We often think of him being quite a young man thrown in, but actually he was a senior citizen. And he showed great faith in God as he stood firm and saw God's deliverance. And as a result of this old man standing firm in his faith in the presence of sincere danger, but in the presence of a whole nation that wasn't worshiping God, look what it says later on. Daniel 6:26, this was the king, in result of the fact that he came out of the lion's den unharmed. He says, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. So because of his faithful stand as an old man in a den of lions, the Babylonian nation was called to worship God. Wow, just think. Wonder what God would want to do in and through us, regardless of our age, to help affect our nation. So just in closing, when is a good time for a person to retire from serving God? Well, I think a useful guide is found in Deuteronomy 31, where it says this. This is Moses. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. And what's interesting, if you read later on in Deuteronomy 34:7, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. So that means he decided to stop leading the people in the same year he died. And maybe that gives us good guidance as to when it's a good time to stop leading others or to stop serving the Lord. Maybe it's when we die. Every single day is an opportunity to serve the Lord, regardless of our age. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I think that not only means let every living thing praise the Lord, but I think it also means as long as we have breath, we should praise the Lord with our lips, with our gifts, and with our service. It's a lifelong thing until our final breath. We are always useful to God in service, regardless of our age. So never let anything or anyone tell you you are too old. But rather, in the words of a poet, Ernest Myers, I used to use this as the kind of mission statement for the work I was involved in Chester. Don't just count your years, make your years count. Let's pray together. Lord, I just thank you for the stories and your instructions in your word and your empowering, Lord, to call and to tell us about your faithfulness towards us and your love for us in all circumstances and at all ages. And I pray, Lord, you help each one of us, Lord, who maybe would put ourselves in the category of being more senior. I pray, Lord, that you will reinforce through us and through your word that, Lord, we are highly valued by you. And, Lord, we may appreciate that as a church, we highly value our senior citizens. And ours in our community as well, Lord. Help us as a church. Maybe those of us, Lord, who aren't quite in that bracket, help us, Lord, to prepare well, but also to just keep our eyes and ears open, that we do support all ages within this fellowship and within this community. That, Lord, we may be servants for you to all and for all time until our final breath. And then, Lord, we will serve you in a different place, in a different way. And what a wonderful thing to look forward to there. In the meantime, Lord, help us to be faithful towards you, our faithful God. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.